Hello, you're listening to Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I am joined here, as always, with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode is a discussion podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us. It should be important to you because it's important to us because Anime Japan happened, Chris. And at least two really insane news came out of it, which pretty much blew up the internet. But other things happened, but Anime Japan was the big one. And I'm super tired now. There's a lot of late nights of watching the news and looking if I need to make a video. It's just, plus I was been working on studying a new video editing program for the YouTube channel, and that's working out better than expected. So it's been a rough last few days. I'm sure you've had a fun last few days too.
Yeah, I worked a few doubles and
double doubles. Why just brought that up randomly? But there you go. Double doubles, why
I'll
not?
I'll just go with it.
You started Onimai. Today. You can now say that you started Onimai.
The first about 5 minutes.
with intro. Do you like the intro?
It was cute.
I think the outro is like the best. Like it's so catchy. It's earworm. Massive earworm. Just the laugh at the very beginning just makes it so. The ending was fantastic.
I'm looking forward to a laugh. We'll see.
The 12th episode was amazing. It was so good. I think I've made like three videos that are two specifically Onimai videos this week and one that's technically Onimai related. So it's like, yeah, my channel's been pretty much Onimai all week. Sorry. It's over. I've done the review. I can move on now unless Bind announce their next title and then I might make another video on Onimai.
I'm desperately trying. I need to catch up. I'm behind about 3 weeks. I'm trying. With the new schedule, I'm basically working nights
and doubles.
And so even though, because now I'm going from basically 70 hours down to 56 hours of work. So I'm still working a lot, but I got more time, but I noticed that my time that I gained has gone directly to sleep allocation. So it's like, I guess I gained more time, but it's not the time that I want. So
that was like my issue when I did graveyard shifts. I was like, I thought it would be so cool. I was so excited the first time I got a graveyard shift job. And then it was like, I just slept the day away. And then it's like, it's nighttime again. It's always night. It's like, it's just miserable. Like, I'm a night owl too. So I still technically right now, I do a lot of my work at night. Like I just did a Mashuko Mondays recording last night, all night. I feel more comfortable when it's night and there's nothing happening.
And I'm the same way. I'm technically a recovering insomniac. So it's not, I can do the night shift thing. It's not that bad. Y'all talking on my daggum Discord in the middle of the podcast.
It's your guys' fault.
It's you guys'
fault.
Join
the Discord. It's on otakuspirit.com. Plug.
But yeah, it's one of those funny things is technically it's me falling into the night shift type thing is really comfortable for me. But the downside is that now I have to adjust the way I consume my content. So
I got a question for you. Those work environments typically have a lot of monitors up. They don't let you put Onimai up on the screen and you can just watch it while you're working.
I have not thought about that, but you know what? I should talk to the chef.
I mean,
about
you could be kind
that,
with them,
you
know? And do the censored version, the global version. Yeah. But I mean, you could just
probably,
kind of push the.
I doubt that. I don't know that they will be on board with that. But I can go ahead and ask the chef about that.
It's just the society these days just doesn't accept, you know, the things that we love, and that's just wrong. It's just a very wrong thing. But no, I mean, you get any breaks to watch some shows or is it pretty much straight shift kind of stuff?
Straight shift.
Yeah. I've experienced that as well. It's just like certain work environments is like, there's just no time. Like you're going to work through your shift. I had one job that I worked where they were literally like, this is like during orientation and they're like, just so you know, most of the time you're not going to get your break. You're not going to get your lunch. People have complained about it. Nothing happened. It's like, okay, thanks. I'm looking forward to working here. I mean, I sometimes prefer that if the shift is short. Like, if you're paying me for it, for me personally, it's fine. I mean, it's not healthy, especially the job that I was doing was sitting the entire time. And it's like, that's not good. But, I mean, you can stand. Just it looks weird because everybody else is sitting and you're standing in the middle of a big office. But anyways, I hope you get around to finishing Onimai. I don't know. We might start reviews next week. Do you think you can make it? At least Onimai, Can you at least get Onimai done before
we do this? I'm going to try.
Do you need me to get those files on a drive for you? You're just going to just download it when you're
there. That way I won't have to try and re-download it.
I mean, you did say that your thing was better than mine. You found the buttons. Just it was acting weird.
Your buttons are hidden somewhere in the background.
Every bug I've ever had with this software, you suddenly have it all simultaneously. What did you do? It just sensed your presence, and it was like, time to break. We just need to get them off here. It's breaking. Anyways, like I said earlier, Anime Japan was insane. There was a lot of news that came out of it, and some really big ones. Should I just start off with the big one? Let's just start off with the big one.
Well, then you could go through the easy stuff and then get the big one and make it more impactful.
And make it force people have to listen to the whole thing because people don't know how to skip forward on these podcasts. I found that out. There's like stats out there that the listen rate drops at some point. It's because they know they can't skip forward.
I gotcha.
I don't think it's anything else related to that. Anyways, yes. For those who don't know, we're at TalkingSpear.com. That's where you can go for all of our links, social media links, Discord, like Chris was getting a notification on based on that. Obviously, this is a complete plug. We also have our links to ways that you can support us through Patreon, tips link, all that good stuff. Also, if you're on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/TalkingSpear. We also have a membership button there where you can join and become a member of the channel. Greatly appreciate it. It supports the channel. It means so much to us. So let's jump into it.
If we're doing plugs, I mean, might as well throw in the music. Channel.
There's a music channel?
There's a music channel.
Where's this music channel?
Otaku Spirit Picks on Spotify.
The podcast is on there too, so you got to make
Spotify
sure it's the Picks one.
Has our podcast.
Otherwise,
as well.
You're not listening to music, you're just listening to us.
Yeah.
Well, there's music podcast episodes, which we're like 3 weeks away from having our next music podcast episode. It's like the season's already starting this Saturday and it hurts. I need a break. This week was pretty chill though, because like there's only like one show per day that's like ending, so it was like, okay, this is kind of getting a little bit of a break time. But anyways, complaints aside, let's move on. First thing we have is we'll start off with things that came out of Anime Japan. I think most of the stuff came out of Anime Japan. Like there was a lot of news that hit this last week. Like since we did our last podcast, like so much stuff dropped. So while we typically don't do two discussions in a row, again, Anime Japan happened, and everybody wanted to announce things outside of Anime Japan too. So tons of stuff happened. First news we have is Rascal Does Not Dream of Sister Venturing Out film is set to debut June 23rd in Japan. If you're a big fan of the series, there is a trailer out there. You can go check that out. They have a new visual for it. And yeah, so if you're in Japan, look forward to that. I kind of curious how popular the series is, if it'll be one that they'll want to do in theaters in the West. I think they've pretty much been doing everything in theaters anymore. It really feels like they're kind of confident enough that even if something's not super popular, it'll still get a theatrical showing. Because I was talking to somebody the other day that we technically have the Kaina the Snow Sea is getting a movie, obviously. And I'm like, I don't even know if they'll do that in theaters over here because I don't think that's a big fit, like a big show. But I don't know. They seem to be doing everything anymore. So, but no, I'm personally looking forward to Sister Venturing Out because the sister's super cute. And I want to see the rest of her story. I didn't watch the movie, and I seem to remember they were saying that there was something related to the sister in the movie, too. I don't remember.
I believe that was the sleepy girl, so I don't know.
The sleepy girl? Does not dream of sleepy girl?
Or I want to say that she was a sleepy girl.
It was a sleepy girl.
I don't remember. It's been a long time.
It has been a while. Like, what was the first season? That was like way, way back. But no, like just in general with this stuff around the sister in the first season, what they kind of insinuated, I was like, I really do want to kind of get into this. So we'll see when that comes out. Hopefully it doesn't take too long to get over here. Again, June 23rd. So hopefully maybe we'll know by August or something when it's going to hit over here. But yeah, she's super cute. Sister forever. High Card is getting a second season. Are you excited, Chris?
No.
I just finished the last episode. It was actually a pretty cool episode. It was a decently fun episode. There was a few like WTF moments. I got a huge kick out of the fact that when they announced the season two, they released a key art.
They went mecha?
No, there's a armored knight guy that's in a memory of his past that he doesn't know about and he's trying to figure it out or something like that. So I'm sure whatever card this person has gives them an armor suit each
it doesn't give them
each
a mecha.
Card.
As each, long as it doesn't give
it's
them
not a mecha. It's just, I mean, it could probably be the size of a mecha. I don't know. But now I got to kick out the fact that the key art they released spelt season wrong. And I was like, is that story related? Like, is there something I missed? Because, I mean, technically high card, the D in high card is backwards, but I thought that was a stylistic thing. But no, they just misspelt it because everywhere else in the tweet, it spelled season correctly in English. But the, just the key art, the marketing people are tired. Just very tired marketing people. It happens. I mean, you did a lot of signs and stuff back in the day. Did you goof up and misspell something?
Oh, hell yeah.
It was always embarrassing. Like the sign you put up in front of the building, how'd you get it way up there? Yeah, we had to get a big ladder out here. It was very dangerous. I hate to say it, but you spelt my name wrong. Like, they don't want to
say
it.
I don't think that we ever got this. The sign, I don't think,
it was posted before. Yeah.
Always check it. Yeah, there's about five levels of protection before we ever got to that point.
You typically sent them the art in digital format. They approve it, and then you would print it and put it on a sign. Then they would check it, and then you put it up, kind of thing. Checks and balances, man. You do it so many times, and then you're like, yeah, we're not putting it up anymore. No check-ins. And that, they sign a piece of paper that says it's done.
Well, you signed off on it. If it's spelt wrong, it's on you.
It's on you. So, yeah, it's next on the list. Let's just get into it. Yes, Mushoku Tensei, JavaScript Reincarnation, got a panel at Anime Japan, and I watched the whole panel, and July... Like July, it's coming in July. Season 2 of Mushoku Tensei is coming in July. Big shock. I was talking to a few people beforehand, and my prediction was 94% that I thought that it was going to be fall. I'm pretty sure it's fall. Then there was like a 1% chance that it could be summer. And then I said like 5% chance would be winter, like it's delayed the next year. 1% I thought it would be summer, and they announced summer, and I'm like, what? What? I was super shocked. So
didn't I go for summer?
I don't know. I had summer at some point, but when we got to the point where we were getting closer and closer to spring, I was like, it's not happening summer. When they said Anime Japan, they're going to announce it, I was like, no, it's not going to be summer then. If Anime Japan is literally a week out from spring season, it can't be spring, and it's very unlikely it's summer. And yeah, there you go. Sure enough. But I don't know. Up until the point they announced the Anime Japan panel, I was thinking it could be summer. It seemed likely. So, but just the longer they went without saying anything, the more or less likely it was. Did you end up watching the panel?
No.
We had like a watch along happening on this Discord.
The graduate chat was going nuts over certain things that were revealed that shouldn't have been revealed.
I was telling people on my video in response to this, I was like, don't watch this if you're anime only. Don't watch the panel. The trailer's fine because this trailer's better than the last trailer. The last trailer was jumping way ahead, at least further than what I've read so far. And I've gotten up to the 9th volume, and this is starting with the 7th volume. And so that tells you how much they're jumping into with that first trailer. So, like, I can say honestly, don't watch the first season 2 trailer. I think the second season 2 trailer is fine. But no, it's like the panel itself, they could not stop talking about one certain thing that is literally ruining a mysterious thing about this first segment. And so I'm like, yeah, if you're anime only, don't watch the panel at all. Especially don't watch past when they start talking about merch. The moment you see that little Sylphie Nindroid, stop watching. Because like at some point, the Sylphie one came up. Then they brought up the Roxy Got Wet figure, and I was like, oh, that's super cute. And then, like, right after that, they jumped to paper books, object novels / manga thingy majiggies. And I immediately seen I recognized the cover of Roxy Get Serious. And then at like the corner of my center focal vision, because, you know, I see Roxy, that's the first thing I look at, right?
Okay.
Like, there's a bunch of things on the screen. There's a Roxy somewhere in there. That's where my eyes go first. Obviously. Mm-hmm. And then, like, off my center vision, I seen what was obviously going to be light novels. I mean, they're showing on manga. They're probably going to be light novels. I immediately just turned my vision away to the Discord chat. And everybody goes, Andrew, don't look. Andrew, don't look. Why are they doing this? What are they thinking? Like, they're literally spoiling later stuff. They were technically, from what I understand, showing the later volumes. And the later volume covers have massive spoilers on them. So it's like, yeah. I don't know what they're thinking. It's obvious that this is, they just assume everybody's watched or read the manga or read the light novel. And this is just like, whoever's watching this panel is novel readers. I don't know what they're thinking. But they do this with everything. This is just Japan. They just make an assumption that you know everything. But why would they joke around with the other aspect the entire time? That I don't want to say what it is because then it's technically spoiling things. There was another aspect during that entire panel that they were kept joking about. And yet this they're okay with? Like it just makes no sense anyways.
The novel cover, because when one of them had first came out and everybody was talking about it and I was like, okay, well, what is it? And they showed it to me and I was like, yeah, I could see the spoiler nature of it. Just mostly because of relationship status. It sucks because it's you want to keep that kind of stuff, especially where a lot of people are in the anime, is like the waifu wars and
the waifu wars.
And so the ultimate relationship goals, whether somebody got with somebody or not, it is one of those things that you don't really want to know because you want to experience that naturally. And it does suck that they would just put that, especially on an announcement thing of something
of the second season.
Yeah, of the second season, when that's something that is later in the story.
The anime is like, what, 20 episodes behind or 20 volumes behind?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I did get a kick out of the fact that I noticed in the trailer, and I won't specify, but I noticed that he's holding on to hair. And I was like, oh, that's a bummer. I kind of assumed that based on how the first season ended. But anyways, it was cool, though. I did enjoy the panel and everything. It was still a lot of fun. I was kind of surprised how much I could understand. That's the cool thing. Like, I was watching the panel, and at some point, I'm like, I know they're talking about that. One of the girls is, from what I was gathering from what she was saying, she was mentioning the idea of people possibly not knowing what this is about. And then sure enough, Marius's grown-up voice actor, he kind of starts jumping into talking about the basic synopsis, which, again, it's like, why did you show that novel at the end if you're having to start from the beginning? All that stuff was kind of fun, though. So, but no, I got all the positive stuff out of the way. Let me start getting negative about this whole panel. There was one aspect that I am a little bit disheartened about. And this is one of the things that kind of has me fearful about the second season, and it kind of plays into, I guess, be careful what you wish for aspect. Because, like, you hear summer, and it's like, yeah, sweet, summer, that's quick. That's much sooner than I thought it would be. And then you kind of start to wonder, is it earlier because they pushed it out? And that's the fear that I have, and it's really centered for me around the fact that Hiroki Hirano is replacing Manabu Okamoto. And that sucks. Like, Okamoto was amazing with that first season. Like, after reading the novels, I'm like, they did a really good job of adapting this. Now, granted, that's not entirely the director. It's a serious competition writer and the script writer and stuff like that. But it was incredible first season. And so it's like, okay, now you have Hiroki, which, yes, Hiroki Hirano was an assistant director, did work on, like, an episode, but it's like unless he was working really closely, and again, technically rubbed off on him perfectly, which is not a guarantee, it kind of upsets me a little bit. And that makes sense now, considering the fact that technically Okamoto is working on U-149 in spring. He's not working on Mushoku Tensei. Now, granted, they could be completely done adapting it second season by this point. I doubt it. Or at least the first core, but I doubt it. I don't know. Are you agree or disagree or?
What other stuff has he done?
I don't think I was able to find any credits for him.
I wouldn't say that I'm completely, especially previewing what you have ahead of time in the notes. I don't know that I'm completely, I'm not going to say I'm not concerned. I do have a sliver of concern. However, like I said, previewing ahead on what you have in the notes with your script writer, I think that it's still a fairly solid team. Because there's still a solid chance that they could pull it together.
He just looks like he just does like single episode directing work. So there's a couple of shows where he did three episodes worth, like a comic guy. No, he did production assistant, episode director for three episodes in Dragon Pilot, three episodes of Fate Apocrypha, an episode of Futapai. So nothing like real main role kind of stuff. Just like an episode here and there of different random shows. That's the main ones. One episode of Seven Deadly Sins, Revival Commandments, which is that Seven Deadly Sins. Is it? Or is that the Shonen one? That is the Shonen one. I for some reason thought that was the other one, just based on the Revival of the Commandments. You could just read so much into it. I hate they make two different shows that have similar names of some sort, or at least the English translation of it.
Is pretty much his debut of
main Saul, role,
of
yeah.
Main role. I don't know. I don't necessarily.
I mean, it does give me a little bit of like sigh of relief in the idea that if Manabu's gone, like some people were saying that he's just left behind, and that really sucks. Again, it could give me a little bit of hope in the idea that of anybody that is going to have to replace him, it's good that it's somebody that worked alongside Okamoto. But again, that doesn't mean that he's going to have learned everything he needs to know from Okamoto. He's still new. In a sense, so it's concerning for me. But I guess the other problem that I have is that they switched up the script work as well. They switched up the character designer, and so it's like three of the major roles have been changed.
The character designer does concern me, but not so much because of who you got there. Toshiya Ono.
Toshiya Ono is a good script writer.
Yeah, I have solid. You know, I think he's very solid because I know 86 was solid. Gatchaman Crowds was solid.
Land of Lustrous is the other
Land
one.
Land of Lustrous. That was fantastic.
Sorry, people.
That one was fantastic as well. So you've got somebody really solid there. And it doesn't look like Hirono is necessarily. He's definitely in the mix for a lot of the stuff. When Andrew had his thing up, it looks like he's definitely in the mix. He's not completely a newbie. He's just, as a director, he has not really necessarily done it. So, I mean, I'm in the middle. I think he's going to be okay, especially with somebody as solid as Ono being his basically right-hand man. Now that definitely a character designer, that means that things are going to be really,
yeah. The character designer aspect is really a big question mark in the idea of, does that specifically mean that they are going to be creating the new character designs for the new characters that are going to be showing up for this next season? Or is that an aspect of based on the trailer, it didn't look like they changed the character designs. Like Rudy still looks the same. So it's probably just them bringing them in to make the designs for the new characters that would be introduced with the second season. I don't know. I think they did whoever did work on the first season did a fantastic job with the designs. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, between the character designer and the animator, the key animator, that's the main reason why I would be concerned about the character designer is they're the ones who are basically making sure things stay on model per se. Like I said, the key animator and them are the two that are going back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to check like poses and stuff like that, mm-hmm. That's not in the initial script or initial sketch layouts. That makes sense. But and the character designer worked on what character designs? I don't see anything listed for character designs.
So they're an animation key animator. So they're going to be all right.
Oh, Photokano. There you go. Photokano designs were good. I liked Photokano designs. I don't know. Sure. Well, that's fears aside. I think the only other thing that kind of made me a little worried is that the PV didn't look great. And typically, when you get a PV, it's like the best cuts. Like it looks beautiful. And I would admit, like the first PV looked really good. The second PV looks a little rough. So, like, even, like, some shots... Like, again, when you choose the clips for your PV, you're choosing the best clips. And if there's rough-looking clips in the PV, that makes you concerned. So, We'll see. I just have a lot of... I'm very fearful of the second season at this point. And again, it's like one of those things where I hear July, I freak out. Great. Awesome. It's coming. It's right around the corner. And then I hear different director. Then I see the PV and it has rough edges all over it. And then I hear different, you know, scriptwriter, hear different character designer. And it's like, wait, be careful what you wish for scenario here. You guys can wait. Like, we'll wait. And we never mind. We don't need it summer, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm still going to be super hyped for it. Still going to be right there, ready for it, refreshing the screen, waiting for it. So we'll see. We'll see. Anyways, other news. Chain Soldier anime was delayed to January of 2024. So yay. I'm not really expecting much from this show because of the studio working on it. So, but I mean, I think when they released the last PV, I wonder if the delay is kind of partially to do with the feedback from the PV. Cause I know that everybody that I know, all my circles were like, that PV looks garbo. But again, I was like, I expected it to look bad because the studio is not a good studio. So, it's 7 arcs, by the way, just not a really great studio. They released a new key art though. And, insert Andrew likes giant girl joke. Moving on. Insert Andrew likes giant. I mean, she does look cute. I didn't know that there was a giant girl in the show. I literally know nothing about that series besides the first key art they released looked amazing. And I was super hyped for, and I was super pumped for it. And then suddenly I found out 7 arcs.
Andrew immediately just has an instinctual draw towards giant girls. We just know it.
Because I like one character of one show that happens to be a giant, mainly because of her seiyuu. All right, let's get into the other big, massive announcement that came out of Anime Japan that everybody knows about, that we're going to talk about like as if it's news. ReZero has been greenlit for a third season. Not greenlit, it's literally happening. They have a trailer and everything. Usually when you say greenlit, it's like it's when they first say, yes, we're doing it. This has been in production, obviously, because they have a trailer and everything, which, I don't know. After the second season, I don't trust anything for the trailers for these shows, because the trailer they have for the second season was like, what is this character and why did they kill all these people? And then sure enough, the actual show happens. And I'm like, so when is the part where the trailer showed coming up? Cause that made like some weird inferences is exactly what's going to happen in this show. So I don't know. I don't trust anything that happened in this trailer. It was an okay trailer. The sound was weird. I don't know if that was just the stream itself or what, but I'm hype still, obviously. Cause I like ReZero. So obviously,
I'm assuming you're talking about the let's say mountain
and the second season trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Akidona and the bodies everywhere.
That I believe was in reference to his, second trial.
Implying that it's her making it make him see that. So it's just implying that the trailer is him mad at her because he's seeing all that stuff and walking past it.
Yeah, he was.
But I mean, just the fact that it wasn't, that visually wasn't in the show itself. Yes, technically he did this one thing and she was there, but it wasn't. The PV implied that she killed a bunch of people in a battlefield and he walked up and said, you killed all these people kind of thing. So that's what I'm saying. So anyways, have you seen the trailer for the second season or third season or not?
No.
No. I don't even know if I have a link to it, so too bad for you. Guess you're not no, that's right there. It's right there. Chris can watch it now, because he's a normie and doesn't watch trailers anymore. But yeah, they released a key art for it, and they released also a celebratory massive key art that shows, like, all the characters, which looks really cool. They're making a...
This trailer is awesome. It's
water, bird. But no, that art looked really amazing. Had all the characters in it. There's already people making speculations of how many episodes there are going to be, and based on what's all the characters in it, I have no clue what the characters are, so I'm not really reading much into the actual art itself. I just think it looked cool. But the only thing that was bad about that art is that I would love to have a wall scroll of it, but I don't need the big, massive third season in the middle of it. It would be really cool if it was just the characters, but unfortunately, we don't always get what we want. But yeah, super hype. They don't have a date or anything set for it, so there's that. I'm sure it's probably going to be throwing a random out here. Spring 2024 earliest is probably my guess. So I'm usually always off by a season, so I should be pretty close. So
yeah, definitely getting high into the Queen's trial.
That was kind of what I was getting from it. I'm like, oh yeah, that was a thing. That was a thing they brought up, what, like, the first season, and then just completely got sidetracked with the trials and they being trapped in that area. And, I mean, just with the first season, the fight with the whale and everything. So, of course, it was all for, technically, Super's growth and making allies and everything, which is a benefit, in my opinion. So, yeah, pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. There's, like I said, there's some leaks out there, which everybody's saying they got some things right with this announcement. It's like you could technically draw those conclusions based on other information. They had the same thing with Mushoku Tensei, claiming that they're pretty much, there's people saying that third season of this and second season of Mushoku are getting like 30 plus episodes. And it's like, sure. I mean, it could have three cores, but that's not typical. You don't typically get three cores in a season. It would be pretty much breaking norms by both. Two of the biggest shows right now, both breaking norms at the same time. It's kind of hard to believe. I don't doubt it could happen, but I'm not putting my money on it. So, but I don't know. Like I said, there's some people claiming that based on what they could cover, it could do it. So, who knows?
Yeah, I've only gotten part way through the Queen's Trial. It's, if you want to call it Queen's Trial, the thing where they are actually deciding who's going to be the queen. And as far as I've gotten into it, it's pretty beefy. There's a lot of stuff in there, especially going into alliances and stuff like that. But there is characters that have been revealed already that they technically haven't gotten into, and that those people are going to be kind of important in this next section. So it'll be interesting to see how they deal with the left out information that they've already revealed.
Yeah, kind of my question mark for a couple things in Mushoku. So we'll see. It seems to be a thing that happens. So
yeah,
we'll leave it up to the studios to figure out how to handle that stuff. But I'm pretty hyped for it. So I've been putting off reading the novel series for that for the longest time. So again, I got Mushoku first, and then I got to do A Sentence of Bookworm. It's just not going to be in time soon. Then Grimgar and Spice and Wolf. And then it's ReZero. It's like it's way in the back of the line. It's back there going, hey, can I get a part of this? So there you go. It's happening finally after, I don't know, 3 years of people saying there's an event coming up for ReZero and it's going to announce it. There's an event coming up for ReZero and it's going to announce it. Finally, it finally happened. See, if you keep saying every single event they're going to announce a sequel, eventually you'll be right.
Yep.
So there you go. All right. Some pretty big news for those that are fans of Jujutsu Kaisen. We, of course, already know that summer, the second season begins. Well, they have announced a date, which is July 6th, which is pretty early for announcing an actual date. But I guess they had nothing else to announce for that except for another PV or another key art. So, and a PV, too. So that's pretty cool. I think it's supposed to get in some backstory stuff, and I'm already pretty hyped for that. So looking forward to that. Tale of Wedding Rings got a announcement for its date, 2024. You excited?
Yes. A little bit.
At least got a year.
It's going to be a little while out, but yeah, I'm excited.
I mean, it was recently announced that it was actually getting an adaptation, so it doesn't surprise me too much that it's still a year out. So, again, another one of those ones where, like, we need to announce something because we need something to do for this event, so let's just have some voice actors up there and show some art off. And I think they also announced Staple Entertainment was going to work on it. So that's Vermil and Gold and a hentai. So good studio for it. Vermil and Gold was actually a pretty decently animated show. Like, I'm actually surprised how well that was animated based on it being a studio that's only done a hentai, a short hentai.
They haven't done bad. They didn't do bad.
Yeah.
And nope. Vermil does have a lot of moving parts.
There was some... Well, I was going to jump off that by saying the action scenes were pretty darn cool. But yeah, there was a lot of moving parts too. And to be fair, they were really good at... basically not showing, having characters with nothing on without showing anything. Like, they did it really good with that whole kind of side shot thing. So nothing's actually shown, but you're still getting a sense of it. Like, mm-hmm. It's just that borderline stuff, which I actually prefer over censorship. So
yeah.
So that'll work out well for Tales of Wedding Rings. There was actually a trailer too. Wedding Rings. I wasn't too much a fan with some of the art of it, but again, not one of those cases where it's staple, so I'm not expecting too much out of it. Can we play the trailer, please?
No, it wants to preview it.
It's like, oh, we're checking to see if this is okay for you to see. Yeah, it's got a very, what, sketchy lines looking. The outlines for the characters and the
outlines. I don't mind that. I really don't.
Yeah. I mean, it has a very fantasy feel to the art style, so I guess that kind of fits with what they're doing. So.
Ooh, eyes.
Ew, eyes as in, like, gross, or ew, eyes as I like it?
I don't know. I think I'd have to feel it out, but it's definitely different
that's
style.
Choice of words there, Chris.
Different style, for sure.
I'm going to have to feel that one out. I don't know. I don't think the walk scene right there was, like, the weirdest thing I see in this trailer. It just looks weird. I don't know why, but she walking in looks very weird proportion-wise. But again, I'm not expecting crazy animation here. But, I mean, again, like, I'm pleasantly surprised by what that studio is able to pull off when they're not really a big studio. So just get the action where it counts. I mean, it's not a very action heavy series, to be honest. I mean, they had like big pinnacle action scene at the end of each kind of character arc.
It started getting a little bit heavier towards the
I seem to remember it getting a little
sixth
more heavier.
Or seventh ring,
which are probably, I have a feeling they're probably going to burn through a lot of it really quickly. I don't see them doing like a really deep adaptation with it. Choice of words, Andrew. Moving on. Netflix had a panel. They announced Yakitori Soldiers of Misfortune, which I guess the surprising thing about this particular announcement is that they revealed the key art for it. And of course, this is being done by this is an adaptation of the novels that is written by Carlo Zinn, which of course is the one that wrote Saga of Tanya the Evil. So that's a little exciting for some people. I know there's a lot of big, massive Tanya the Evil fans out there. And so good on you. You got yourself a new show. The unfortunate news is that it's a full CGI show. So don't go rush into a PB, you know, drilling at the mouth or anything like that. It's got like a cell shaded art style to it, but it's super Netflix anime. Like, Netflix is in love with CGI anime. So it's kind of par for the course for their adaptations anymore. But yeah, it's basically about like this future sci-fi soldier group kind of thing. This guy is trying to get out of his forced labor that he's kind of restricted within, and he gets told to go join this infantry group that has like a 70% casualty rate. So he goes join that, because that's obviously the best choice, is to go join somewhere where you're probably going to die. But yeah, I think the other cool thing that they kind of announced with this, which is kind of weird, is that there's going to be a character in the series called, Hatsune Mimi, which is going to be played by Hatsune Miku. So, okay. Okay. Apparently Hatsune Miku is going to be in the show as a seiyuu. So there you go. Cool stuff. If you like CGI soldiers and like Saga of Tanya the Evil, check it out.
It definitely didn't sell me. So,
well, the big problem that the PV has for fans of Saga of Tanya the Evil is no Tanya.
Exactly.
And I think, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I think a lot of people that are fans of Saga of Tanya the Evil like it because Tanya. They don't like it because of the writer. They like the character the writer made. So, I don't know. I would be interested to hear people's thoughts on my statement there. I really do think that most people like him because he wrote Tanya. And Tanya's a really cool character. I don't know. There you go.
Well, I can say this. As a fan of Tanya, I watched this PV and I did not get Tanya, and so I'm not interested in it, even with the stupid looking dog.
There's a dog person, yeah.
The stupid looking dog.
The dog person told him to do it. I think his name, I think that's Pupkin. The synopsis says there's a person named Pupkin, and I can only think of one character in that trailer that reminds me of Pupkin, and that's a dog person. So, bad Pupkin. Bad Pupkin. Moving on, Oku, the Inner Chambers was announced. Stu Deans is working on it. Oh, by the way, that Yakitori is going to hit Netflix on May 2023. So it's like right around the corner. So Oku, the Inner Chambers was talked about at the panel, being done by Studio Dean. 2023 premiere. So it's going to be this year, probably a fall season show, because, again, we're pretty much running out of time for summer. even though Mushoku got sent down for summer. So check that out. It looks like a period piece about some inner chambers of this palace. So there you go. Then we have Returner. A Returner's Magic Should Be Special TV anime was announced for 2023. Shoot, if I can click on links, we can look at the... I think it's just a key art. Yeah, key art. And it's in a time where the Shadow World has taken over and most of humanity is wiped out. A party of six heroes tried and fails to save the world. But magician Desser Herman is given a second chance when he opens his eyes to find that he has gone back 13 years in the past. It's now up to him to gather his party once again and stop the greatest catastrophe in human history. So, retry. Go back to a checkpoint.
Yep.
Damn, he needs to save more often. You can't rely on checkpoints. You cannot rely on checkpoints.
If your checkpoint is
13 years ago?
13 years ago, you probably missed a save point.
He must have run out of ink ribbons.
No, that's possible too. But I was thinking more along the lines of he probably just kept going for the shortest path and kept missing the
save points.
The save points off to the side.
It's the little glowy things that kind of bounce up and down, bounce and they rotate. And mm-hmm. Just like every JRPG in the PS4 or PS1 era. Anyways, that was a lot of funny jokes. Moving on, Demon Lord 2099 anime adaptation was announced.
Hey, we could be considered a parody at this point, right? Mm.
Parody of our own lives. Sadness. I don't know where I'm going with that. But yes, Mao 2099 has been announced. This is kind of one of those ones where I seen it at first. I'm like, shrug. And then I kind of thought about it a little more. And I'm like, this actually sounds pretty interesting. It's based on a light novel, Mao 2099. Fuse Era, year 2099, Shinjuku. The dazzling prosperity of the massive city-state conceals a lurid darkness just beneath its surface. It is here, in the megalopolis that represents the pinnacle of human development, where the legendary demon lord Veltol makes his second coming. To rule this brave new world, he will have to take hold of the future himself. But yeah, basically just like demon lord in futuristic Japan. Which again, like I get nothing out of that PV or that synopsis, but at the same time, now that I start thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, we don't really get futuristic demon lords. It's always fantasy world setting demon lords. So could be cool. We'll see. Again, zero context to go by, but based on the key art and that. So
I actually wouldn't mind. I mean, I don't know if this is necessarily the direction that it's going, but I would kind of like the idea of a demon lord coming to a disenchanted world, basically a world that's just so jaded with life, and the demon lord trying to convince them to fall, but they're so jaded with everything that they just won't do it. You know what I'm saying? Basically, the demon lord would want the world to go into a complete despair, but if the world is so jaded that it just can't go down that last little bit into that final despair, and just that's more his problem, is just that he can't get them to despair because they are technically already in despair. Does that make sense?
They're already Zetsubo.
Yeah, they're already there.
Zetsubo since I just came to my mind. Despair. Yeah. Despair. My life is despair. I mean, I guess I can see that. Or the idea that they're just more open to accept him because things are really crappy anyway, so you might as well. I mean, we've got quite a few stories where it's like the hero is not the good person kind of thing, and the main character is the demon lord. But yeah, that would be kind of interesting to have a world that is not in a good position, so it makes it a little more interesting. So a little more accepting, as you said. Or not as... for me, anyways. But yeah. Moving on. The 16-Bit Sensation TV anime adaptation was announced. So, for fans of 16-Bit Sensation, apparently, that is going to get an adaptation. The original story was by Tamaki Wakaki, Misato Mitsumi, and Karanjo from Aqua Plus. So, devote your youth to developing a lovely Bishoujo game that will make players fall in love. Meiko Uehara, a college student, began to work part-time at a computer store in 1992. However, behind the scenes, the shop was an erotic game-maker specializing in Bishoujo games. Mako, a talented artist, is suddenly hired as a substitute graphic designer after the staff flees. It's always a good option to go and jump right into that when everybody else ran away. Even though she has never drawn R18 illustrations before, will she be able to complete Inroge successfully? With a 16-bit PC as her partner, her career as a creator begins. I kind of like the idea. I think more so interesting to me in the idea of kind of going more for, I mean, it's sad to say it, a retro retro art kind of setup with, you know, a 16-bit tablet and everything like that. But, yeah, I'm kind of interested in this one. Character design is really cute. So,
yeah, the character designs are absolutely adorable.
Really, really interesting concept. I'm curious how well that will handle in adaptation form. Probably a lot of very carefully cut shots to not show too much because it's Rogue. Yeah, so 16-bit sensation. Looking forward to that one. This was kind of weird. Did you hear about this, Chris? Horimiya is getting another anime.
You were saying something about Horimiya, but I don't think you ever got around to finishing the statement.
Oh, to you? I wasn't sure if you're watching one of my videos, and I was like, did I cut off in one of my videos, and I need to go back and edit it?
No, you were talking to me, and you had mentioned Horimiya, and I think this conversation got sidetracked, so you never actually told me what
balls, you know, you see the ball go by you, and you're saying, yeah. Ball! I gotta go get the ball! Squirrel! No, they announced that Horimiya is getting another season, and obviously the big question mark that pops up in everybody's head is either people that read it or in the know, it was adapted. Cloverworks adapted the manga, and it's done. But, of course, a lot of people that knew the source material at the time knew that they skipped a lot of stuff. So, apparently, this Horimiya -piece- is going to be where they adapt all the stuff that they skipped. So, thank you, Cloverworks, for coming back and finishing it properly. But, apparently, yeah, it's going to be jumping into July, so it's going to be summer. So, obviously, a quick announcement because, again, it's probably going to show a lot of the old scenes, and they're just going to adapt the ones that they skipped. My only question mark there is this going to be strictly nothing but skipped content, and it's going to be, like, really chopped up? Like, oh, you're watching an episode, and suddenly you see a scene that you didn't see before, and then it just jumps to another scene that you've never seen before? Or are they going to start from the beginning again and include those scenes that were skipped? If that's the case, is this going to be two core? Like, because I don't see them fitting it into a single core. They barely fit the first attempt to adapt it into a single core. But yeah, the only tagline they gave was, new anime will depict stories in which were not adapted in 2021 anime. So we'll see how they actually put this together. But again, it's going to be summer. So we shall see. I really love the first season, or the first attempt to adapt it. So the first attempt to adapt it. So hopefully this one, I guess, pieces it all together decently well. I would actually more appreciate the idea of them, yes, start from the beginning again, but then put those scenes that were missing, and then, yes, make it a two core if they need to. So, but again, we'll see. It's probably going to be a cut of different scenes that were skipped. I'm just curious how that's going to work properly and not be just a jumbled mess.
Do Cloverworks do the other one?
Yeah.
So they could be just giving us the cut scene. You're such a dork.
No, even if it was Cloverworks that did the first one, they would just pass the materials over to whoever's taking over it. It technically, Cloverworks doesn't own it, so.
Well, I can't see them just redoing the entire thing just for the missed content. But I could see them releasing them as shorts and then going back and then recompiling the whole thing for a Blu-ray release.
Yeah. I mean, that's a possibility.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Special edition with cut scenes.
The director's cut.
We have a new trailer was released for A Girl and Her Guard Dog. I want to hear Chris's opinion of this. Let us know your live reaction to the trailer for A Girl and Her Guard Dog. Which is basically about a girl who is part of this family that's like Yakuza and stuff, and this boy that's always been guarding her. Eventually she gets to high school, she's looking forward to, you know, just having a normal life and getting away from the whole thing, and then the bodyguard from her childhood shows up, and he's like 26 years old, and he's hanging out with her at her high school and guarding her. I'll just say it. I'm not a fan of the art style. I'm just not. It's not jiving with me at all. The character designs is just not working for me. Especially the guy. He looks like he fell out of Tokyo Revengers or something. It's got that kind of shaggy hair going, very sharp eyes, and the lips kind of has that little shading to it. Makes it look like he's got, like, goth paint on it or something. She's okay, but I just can't stand her, his design.
Odd coincidence, I actually read part of the manga.
Cool. What do you think of the art style, though?
It was all right.
The show, the PV. We're talking about the PV. Focus, Chris.
I just said it's all right.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the manga because you were just talking about the manga. Anyways, I thought I'd get a better reaction out of Chris. Phil, Andrew, project number 9 is working on it. It's going to be October. So look forward to it in fall. I know. I think October's starting to get built up. Or at least fall is getting built up. I think summer's already getting way too packed, so it's going to be very scary. It feels like we're getting a little bit of a reprieve from the 66 shows of winter, and I think we only have like 54 in spring, but I think we're going to go right back with summer. I really feel it. Anyways, that's pretty much it for Anime Japan. I think there might be some other ones sprinkled down in the rest of the list, but that's pretty much it. I was pretty excited to see that Atri, My Dear Moments website, has revealed a visual in a 2024 premiere, so Troika will be working on that one. That's kind of one that I'm pretty excited for. I bought the game, and I just never got a chance to play it, so I'll be happy to actually see that come out. So, again, that's the one that is by Aniplex EXE. Visual novel producers, so yeah. Devil Part-Timer's coming back. Are you excited, Chris?
I was getting ready to say something a little bit more harsher, but I'm not. I'm.
It's the second season, Chris. Are you excited for the second season of Devil's a Part-Timer?
Yeah. We'll go ahead and. If I can get caught up, maybe I'll watch that stuff.
But anyways, the joke is that. Yes, they're calling it second season, which confused a crap ton of people. They had to, like, I think they later on released a clarification that it's like, okay, so everybody knows we're not crazy. The trailer, it is second season. Apparently the first season, quote unquote, the first season is Devil's a Part-Timer with a single explanation point. The quote unquote second season was Devil's a Part-Timer with two explanation points. This one is called Devil's a Part-Time with two explanation points, second season. So this is the second season with two explanation points. So we have basically Devil's a Part-Timer, Devil's a Part-Timer, and then we have Devil's a Part-Timer second season. I don't know. We were just talking about this earlier, about the idea that, you know, doing three chords is very rare for a season.
Right.
And then while we were talking about that, you started talking and I started remembering, oh yeah, that's right. We had the whole thing with Attack on Titan. Nothing is normal anymore with season. I'm sick of seasons. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Can we number every single core a season and just be done with it?
Yeah.
Because I'm tired of this part one versus season. Like every time I say, hey, this one, like for example, I'll say, man, I really didn't like Spy X Family part two. And then somebody goes, no, it's season two. The season one was earlier that year, and that was season two. They list it as parts. And there was another show that I swear was in parts. And somebody's like, no, it was seasons. I'm like, I'm just sick of it. Just call everything
a season. Exactly. I remember when we first started, I didn't understand this. The idea of a core versus a season. And I would just sit here and I'd go... Season one, season two, because it made sense if everything was a season is 12 episodes and then the next part is 12 episodes. That makes sense to me.
Right.
And then so I was calling it season one, season two. Maybe it was in reference to Sword Art Online or something like that. And I got told all about cores and how this is
a core.
And I'm like,
I love the season snobs.
Wait, what?
Actually.
Wait, what? it just because some shows have 12 episodes and they are called a season, and some shows have 24 episodes, which is two cores, but that's a season.
So that's a season.
It's
whatever the studio decides like halfway through the show. But no, it's like I think I have a remedy. Going forward, I will from now on always call something the name of the show, and then insert season, year. So, like, with Devil's a Part-Timer coming back in, what was it, July, did I say earlier? Yeah, July. So, the season, this Devil's a Part-Timer that's coming up will be officially titled Devil's a Part-Timer Summer 2023. That's its name. I'm not going to call it second season. I'm not going to call it two explanation points. I hate the explanation point thing, by the way, because there's been several shows that do that. I hate it. Like, I was always wondering what Kaijo would be, or Keijo would be if it ever came back. Do you think Keijo, if it, because that one had, like, what, five explanation points? And then, like, I had to figure it out because I had to make tags and stuff, and so I had to figure out how many explanation points it is. I was impressed by how many explanation points it used. But I was always curious, like, are they going to just add another explanation point at the end of it, and that'll be season two? Because a lot of shows like the multiple explanation points. New Game did that, didn't it? I think New Game did that. There was another show with a name like, or was it Gamers? Gamers only had season one.
A couple of shows have done it. I've always went back to like To Love Ru and Moto To Love Ru, so it's more To Love Ru type. I do get a kick out of those when they play with the words a little bit.
I like that. Yeah. Anyways, that's coming back, and I probably won't watch it because I just did not like season two. I'm sorry, I did not like two explanation points. Did not like that season of Devil's Part-Timer.
I didn't hate it. I just dropped off of it.
I never got over the art style, and just there was no, it wasn't funny for me, and that's kind of why I enjoyed the first season. The first season was really good. Really good, and visually looked really good. Two explanation points did not look good. Anyways, Dark Gathering announced a broadcast of July. They also released a new PV for it, which looks interesting. I'll say it looks very interesting. Going for very supernatural, gothy look. Very dark and grim looking. A lot of dark shades and stuff. You can barely see what the hell's happening. And then suddenly out of nowhere, a random cute lolly with skull eyes shows up and starts slashing up things. So that makes it fun. Always like cute lollies with skull eyes that slice up things. But yeah, the manga centers around some boy who has the ability to be a spirit medium. And then some girl shows up and pretty much offers to take him and hunt stuff. So there you go. Yeah, there's like, I'm not like a huge fan of the art style, but I think, like I said, I think the cute little lolly girl looks pretty cool. And there's a lot of like monsters in people's bellies. So I don't know if they're like spirits or preggering people or, I don't know, but it seems to be apparently the mangaka is obsessed with spirits preggering people or something or tentacles and bellies. I don't know. So keep that in mind. There seems to be an obsession there. So. Anyways, that's Dark Gathering. I think I seen the key art for it a while back, and it was kind of I think the key art before was just literally just her face with the skull eyes, which is an interesting choice. So there you go. If you're looking for some unsettling horror psychological lolly slicing, yeah. Blue Lock got gleaned for a second season. Are you excited for that? No, probably not. I didn't even finish it. Not that it was bad, I just came off of Awashi and just wasn't looking for that type of shonen sports show right afterwards. So, but I think the cool thing for Blue Lock fans is that not only did a second season get announced, but also a movie. So, and apparently it's going to be covering the Nagi spinoff manga. So cool stuff there. Trigun Stampede got announced for more anime. They didn't really specify what type. They just said the final phase was greenlit. So that was kind of obvious if you're watching the show like I was. Just wasn't ending. And it kind of felt very prequel-ish? Question mark, possibly. Misfit Demon King Academy got announced for restarting in July. So it's going to come back in summer. It's going to start over with the first episode. They released a new visual to say sorry. Sorry, we give you a new visual. We're sorry that we delayed it, but you got a new visual.
That will make me feel a little bit better about ending up missing out on that most of that show.
Oh, I thought you were playing off my joke. Like, yeah, I'm kind of happy that I got a new key art. That makes it a little softer for, you know, missing out on that. I mean, that's just like Kubo. Kubo also got announced to restart on April 4th, so you can start that one over in spring too.
I've got Irma-kun to get it caught up on to.
Irma-kun. Oof. You fell off on, or you got behind on Irma-kun too. That's right. I've been seeing him pop up on my history on Crunchyroll every now and then, which makes me punch a wall every time because it's always Chilling in My 30s. It's like he's watching Chilling in My 30s again. He's not watching Onimai. And I scroll through, looking to see if I can see Onimai. I'm like, nope, don't see Onimai, but I see a lot of Chilling in My 30s.
I was trying to catch up on the show. And I didn't even get caught up.
You were trying to get caught up on Onimai and you accidentally clicked 30s. I get it. I hate when that happens. Yeah, Kubo and I was kind of happy that I didn't even start Misfit. Like, I was a little bit behind on it, and then they announced the delay, and I'm like, I have a feeling that was probably just going to get season delayed, and sure enough, it did. Not just a season delay, like, two seasons. Kubo's at least coming back, but yeah, that one's just not doing very well. I'd be curious if Nier will come back next week. I don't think so. I think they've indefinitely laid off that one, so. A1 Pictures, or Aniplex, I mean. Oof. Girlfriend's coming back, Chris. Are you excited? That is set for October, so that'll be another fall show. So that has officially locked in.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Super excited.
Toshkani! I do actually like that show.
Every time I think of that show, I hear him saying, Toshkani! She's like, how are you going to do the taxes and stuff? Toshkani! That is going to be difficult. Oh, he's an idiot. Some updates on Spy X Family. I'm sorry, Spy Family. They announced Season 2 will begin in October, so another fall show. Which, again, I kind of assumed that would be a fall show.
We were already in Season 2. Oh, yeah. We discussed this, Chris, a while ago.
Careful. No, we just finished Spy X Family Fall 2022. And this is going to be Spy X Family Fall 2023. That's its new name. Anyways.
Are you sure it's not going to be Spring 2024?
The next...
Oh, it's going to start in October.
This is starting here. Yeah, this will be Spy X Family Fall 23. Then they'll probably have the next part. I want to say the other core. They don't want to say that part. Anyways, joke aside. Movie Code White is scheduled to premiere in Japan theaters on December 22nd. So it'll be at the end of the year. And again, if I remember correctly, that was supposed to be like an original story. So it's not needed to be watched in order to watch the second season. But there you go. This was actually kind of interesting. Kind of came out of nowhere, like right at the tail end of Anime Japan. Got a few people on the Discord excited, so apparently something that's worth checking out. But yeah, a website was launched to announce an anime adaptation of Senpai is an Oko... I don't know why I hate saying this name so badly. Thank you, Chris. Say it again.
Otokonoko.
There you go. It's getting an anime adaptation. But yeah. Senpai is, or this is him, I think is the other title that people, or the English title that they have for it.
Is a boy.
Yeah, I got that part. I'm just saying that they've titled it as This Is Them, as the English title, so there you go. But yeah, this one is Makoto Hanaoka, a womanly second-year student, easily attracts other people's attention. First-year student Saki Aoi is no exception, and she falls in love with Makoto at first sight. Having a vibrant and vigorous personality, she does not hesitate to confess her feelings to her senior. However, Makoto differs significantly from the person Saki perceives. Makoto is not a girl, but rather a cross-dressing boy. After revealing his well-known secret to Saki, Makoto expects her to be disgusted. Surprisingly, she's instead captivated by this revelation. Nonetheless, he still rejects her, but Saki's determination does not stop her from declaring that she will become his first love. With Saki and his childhood friend at his side, Makoto's world brightens, giving him strength amidst his struggles between his interests and his expectations placed upon him. So,
I don't know the. I know that there's a special word for the crossdresser, but I have not. I've never figured it out because it always sounds like they're saying otokonoko, which is a boy. I don't know what that special word is that they're using to make it into it.
It's like pretty boy, pretty much kind of like thing. I mean, the art style looks gorgeous. Like the celebration art for it is really gorgeous. And like I said, there's a couple people on the Discord that were really excited for it. So it sounds like it should have a cool story to it. So synopsis sounds interesting. So I'll be looking forward to that one. It's very early. It seems like very early announcement. So we'll have to wait to see more information coming out of it. So
I don't know. Maybe they're using a random instead of a kana, maybe they're using a hiragana or something. Maybe something. They're doing something with the word, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Because onanako is female, and so otokonoko is male, and they're doing something to play with the letters to make it into a this is not really type thing.
Right, right. There you go. Let's see. What other interesting news that we have? Because this is like we're getting into like the scraping the barrel right here. Sandland Project announced that the film will be hitting Japan theaters in August on August 18th. So that is, of course, Akira Toriyama's new series getting an anime or a film. So there you go. Official website for TV anime Classroom Heroes unveiled a July premiere. So another summer show. I don't know why I'm struggling with figuring out what that is. Sadly, Fluffy Paradise got delayed. That's going into 2024. So they cited various circumstances. That sounds like a good one, though. Fuji TV dropped a lot of stuff just before Anime Japan. They announced anime Metallic Rouge. So that one actually looks pretty cool. I don't know. It's done by Studio Bones, by the director Carol Tuesday, set to premiere in January of 2024. Pretty much like cyber fighting kind of stuff. Takes place in a world where humans and androids exist or coexist. Story follows Rouge, an android girl, on a mission to Mars with her partner Naomi to kill to murder 9 artificial humans who are hostile to the government. So lots of CGI. Battle suits fighting each other, but then like cool looking character designs. She looks kind of cool. That's a cool character design. So that's cool. Bloody Escape was announced. It's another CGI show being done by Goro Taniguchi, who did Code Geass and One Piece film. That's going to be in early spring, which is apparently androids versus vampires versus Yakuza. Because why not? Another full CGI one, though. What else? Oh, this is interesting. Yoko Taro apparently is quote-unquote penning-based storylines. I'm like, don't do it, Yoko Taro! You know what happened to Jinro Bucci? You don't want to end up like he did, do you? But no, Fuji TV announced that Yoko Taro will be working on a new TV anime. He pretty much tweeted that he was creating a quote-unquote based story, but he was obviously joking because he searched based story and Google told him based story. Anyways, the whole based with a D at the end of it joke. But it kind of insinuates that Yoko Taro is, who is, of course, known for creating the Nier series. He is basically creating this one, which is Kami Irabi God.app. And it's going to premiere in October. It's got the Knights of Sidonia director on it. Stew is Unin, which I've never heard of before. And Monoka, who, of course, did the music for Nier, is going to be working on this one as well, which Monoka does amazing music for Nier. But again, there's the big fear there is that that's Yoko Taro creating the story. And then I'm not sure how much involvement he's going to have after that, but it could turn into a Jinro Bucci thing where everybody goes, he didn't actually write it. Just put his name on things to sell them. But we'll see. We'll see. Interested in that one? Was it? That was CGI, wasn't it? I mean, it's got the director for Knights of Sidonia. I wonder if Unend is like a spinoff of Knights of Sidonia. I mean, it's got a cute design to it. Unend. You know, literally has no other credits besides this. I'll have to look into that to see if maybe it's a studio that broke off from Polygon Pictures. Anyways. If the Knights of Sidonia director just kind of broke off and just ripped out a bunch of people from Polygon Pictures, that'd be great. There's some crazy drama behind that one, I'm sure. Fuji TV announced that Rurouni Kenshin anime is going to premiere in July on the Noitamina block. So there's another summer show. It's getting just packed. What else? Kensha. Urusei Yatsura, of course, has already have its second half announced. They said second half of Urusei Yatsura. She hate this crap so much. It's going to premiere in 2024. So I think most everybody kind of assumed that. The last episode of Urusei Yatsura season one was funny. It was a very fun episode. Just a big match in the middle of an arena with all the girls and just mayhem. And that one girl pretty much getting more action than the main character. Stole everybody's first kiss. Spoilers. Let's see. I think that's pretty... Oh, yeah. Dogokobo announced a new original anime. Get this. To celebrate its 50th year anniversary. It's like, what? I don't think I remember that being how long Dogokobo has been around, but it makes sense when you realize that, yes, technically Dogokobo was, I think, a spinoff of Toei Animations, and Toei Animations been around since, like, the 40s? 1940 or something like that?
Wouldn't surprise me.
So, yeah, Dogokobo has been around for a long time. Of course, they were pretty much just working, you know, in-betweens and stuff like that, you know, just producing stuff, not necessarily doing their own animation works as a full company, so... But yeah, the new anime is called Jellyfish Can't Swim in the Night, and it's going to air in 2024. And again, it'll be celebrating their 50th anniversary. I'm really hoping that they really turn things around next season. Like, they better not drop the ball on Oshinoko. And I'm really hoping that kind of re-sparks my love for that company, because I was a huge fan of Dogokobo for the longest time, and then it just, out of nowhere, like, three shows came out in a row that were just not good. Or at least visually not good. So the art style for the key art looks cute. She looks like a cute character. I don't think they really said anything about what it's going to be about. They released a key art and a PV that shows the key art. Yeah, there's not really much information. Oh, Ryohei, who worked on Ero Manga Sensei, is going to be directing it. You know it's going to be good. Yeah, I think we already know where this is going. I think I know where this is going. We'll see, though. We have the Madoka Magica side story character designer. No, the person that's doing the designs and animation. Anyways, there you go. And I think that's... Oh, yeah, Sir Raffle Fairy Tale is getting a second season. Yay! Oh, yeah, and Studio Bind apparently is making a PV for a NFT company called Kiwami. Are you excited, Chris? Are you excited for an NFT PV from Bind?
Sure.
Has there been any updates? I don't even think Studio Bind even acknowledged this tweet. There's a company that does NFTs called Kiwami, and they tweeted, "We're excited to say that we're having a PV, and Studio Bind's making it." And they released this tweet, I think, like, the day of the final episode of Onimai, so they were, like, trying to jump on that hype of that last episode, so... Dudes know how to advertise. Got to make sure you bring that up during the midst of Studio Bind just getting some massive hype going on, because that last episode of Onimai was absolutely incredible, if you didn't get the indication from what I said earlier this podcast. But yeah, I just assume. I know there's a lot of people going, "Oh my gosh, Studio Bind's going down. They're making NFTs now." It's like, no. This company went to Studio Bind's building and said, "Can you make us a 30-second PB?" They said, "Yeah, if you have money." And they're like, "Yeah, we have money. Here's money." And they go, "Okay, cool. Billy and Bob, make a 30-second PB. All right, draw. There you go." It's about it. It's a big clickbait thing that I just really don't want to get into. So even though I did technically put in one of my thumbnails that Studio Bind NFT anime, I didn't make it the biggest font. I could have. Just one big thumbnail that has, like, Rudeus shocked, and it just says, "Mushoku anime, NFTs, Bind to kill Mushoku Tensei animation for NFTs." There's so many cool ways to clickbait the YouTube algorithm, and I just never do it because I just don't want to go that route. I just don't want to. Hey, but hey, if the podcast and the YouTube starts to fail, maybe I'll have to start doing that just to keep things going. I'd probably just give up by that point. There you go. Got some time for some questions. Are you excited, Chris?
Uh-huh.
For those that don't know, she's yawning.
You caught me at the right time. What do you want me to do?
Should I cut it and you just say it again? So what do you think, Chris? Should we do some questions for the community?
Sure.
As per usual, talkaspear.com is where you can go to join our community. We have a link to the Discord there, or if you're on YouTube or whatever, you can click on the descriptions. It's always in that link. The link's already in the description. So, yes, hopefully I don't have to scroll through too many bad people just talking in the Discord question thread area, like always. Let's see. Forestick Man says, if you got transported into the body of a harem protagonist, who would it be? What would you do differently as the protagonist? I'm trying to think of what my favorite harem anime is, and it feels like it's just been, I've been so, I will admit, we haven't really got, we get a harem anime, like, every season, obviously, but I just don't really feel like we've gotten, like, old school harem type stuff in so long. Like, if you asked me, like, a few years ago, I'd probably would say probably Amagatas or Tenchi Muyo. But I quickly grew out of my love for the characters of Tenchi Muyo, unfortunately. Like somewhere in, like, the 2000s, I just never looked back. Like, I still like Ryoko. I wasn't a huge fan of Ayaka. Chris is always a big fan of Ayaka.
I
liked Kiyone. Kiyone was my favorite. I did kind of have a soft spot for Mihoshi, Mihoshi.
Washu
was always you just can't not like Washu. Like, she's just the crazy girl on the side. She's technically the one that got the most action out of that original series than any of the other girls. She got in there on him. She had to get some samples. I mean, she got in there and squeaky, squeaky. Technically, Ryoko would tell you that she was, craving pickles and ice creams, but we know that she didn't go very far. But I don't know. I'm trying to think. There's a side of me that kind of likes, is sort of into the idea of Saikano, How to Raise a Bored Girlfriend, because I really liked Eddie and, God, I'm blanking on the other girl's name. I almost want to say Snafu, because it technically is a harem, but they're not so focused on a lot of the girls in that show, and obviously there's obvious changes I would make in that story, but I'm not going to say for spoiler reasons.
The thing with those is that they're more
they're drama than harem,
right? And they're the difference between a drama and a comedy harem is honestly night and day. You're not going to get a solid.
I just think that's just an aspect of the world or the anime sphere itself changing. Because there's often times whenever I see like a real harem show pops up, and it's like, whoa, it almost feels foreign.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to think of how many, true harem shows you've watched in the last year, because they're all changing away from being pure harem to actually telling a story with a harem aspect to it.
That was one of the things that we had said when we were, Actually I Am came out. It was like, this feels like an old school harem.
Well, that's like
it really does actually.
God of Storm felt like it came out of where I was like, when God of Storm came out, I was like, I know, I realize we don't get this type of anime anymore. Yeah. Like, where it's just pure guy goes to place and there is a bunch of girls.
Yeah.
One Buddhist one that's coming up here soon where the guy sees a girl and then he decides to devote himself to Buddhism or something. And he goes to a shrine and there's a bunch of girls there and it's just ecchi. It's like, whoa, this is like, you know, like the old days. Like, what the heck is that show called that was like in the early 2000s that was really big? The harem show where he goes back. He takes over his father's inn, and it's a girl's dorm or something like that.
I do remember the boy who got the who inherited his family's his father's mansion, and they had all the maids. There was that one too.
Yeah.
The lady who kept calling all of
Love Hina. Oh my gosh,
Love Hina.
It was driving me crazy. I'm like, could not think of Love Hina. Like, I seen the Hina. but yeah, like something that's like pure Love Hina, where it's just like a guy gets forced to go to location. And oh, by the way, location has just a bunch of girls there. I mean, technically even with the one a couple of seasons ago, Love Flops, it was like, that felt very kind of old school, where it's suddenly like dad just sets him up to have all these girls in his house and he's got to live with them. Shenanigans. It's just a really dumb old style to it. Even though they try to kind of twist that one around.
It's funny because it feels like,
I wonder if any list has a harem tag.
I kind of wish there was kind of this happy medium between the two, where you just have a solid digging into characters and their motivations and give me good solid storylines, but at the same time just still keep it light and fluffy and goofy and ecchi. But it's like you either have one or the other. You can't have both. I mean, in all honesty, because most everybody really wants, I mean, The closest we have to that is honestly ReZero, and ReZero is not really it barely is a harem. I mean, it's like right here on the edge of being a harem, and it might as well be in it, but it's not, because it really wants to take itself serious, and it's really frustrating on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole aspect. I would argue that I'm at the point now where I don't really care to see dramas and serious shows that have a harem aspect to it, because it's always going to lead to a cruel point. Mm-hmm. And typically your favorite pick isn't going to be the winner. Spoiler to my next Mashuka Monday, I'm going to be talking about this in very great depth, because this is literally something I've just talked about with that Mashuka Monday. But there's always a choice point, and it always kind of breaks a heart for anybody that's kind of rooting for a particular character, and it always leads to the tragedy of everybody that was not picked. And at some point you kind of get just I don't want to see it anymore. Like, it breaks your heart every time, and it's like, why do I... So it almost comes to the point where every time I watch a show and I see... Okay, so obviously we have this girl likes him. Okay, he's obviously focused on this other one. Stop watching. Like, I just don't care to see it anymore. That was literally how I felt with More Than Married Couple. Like, the moment they got to that point where you suddenly get that pretty much confirmation that this is a really a two-sided relationship kind of thing, but yet there's this forced relationship here. I'm like, I just don't want to watch it. Like, I don't want to subject myself to the obvious this is going to... heartbreaking. Like, it's kind of like the whole Saw kind of thing. It's the whole torture prong kind of stuff. Yeah. Where it's like, I know what I'm walking into. Do I want to walk into this? Like, I know this is what the PVs do that. And I feel for you whenever it comes to that situation where we're watching PVs and suddenly it's like this person just, you know, chainsawing on some random cute girl. And it's like, do I want to watch this? Do I really want to subject myself to this? I know where I'm walking into. It's like, here comes another season of Madoka Magica. Do I want to watch this? Do I really want to see a bunch of cute girls dying again? I don't know. Himeneko comes back in, or Higurashi When They Cry is coming back. Do I want to?
Yeah, and Higurashi was an excellent example of, I knew how dark that writer is, and it's like, I don't need to. I really don't. Maybe someday I will, because I do love the series, but I don't need to right now.
To the question you were asking about which harem we want to go into. Clannad's an easy one. But your question more is like, what would you do differently? Literally, the question's baiting into spoiling things. I don't know if I want to get into that. I mean, technically, like with Clannad, it is a visual novel where you can choose your route. And obviously, I would go the Tomoyo route. I mean, she's obviously best girl. So that's an easy different kind of thing you would do there. Doing differently as a protagonist, I think that kind of leads to the idea of which choice you would make.
Not be girl phobic. I mean, that's most of them. It would be
don't do blah 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 blah. I mean, that's like Don Machi. Really easy harem type choice there. And it would, yes, again, it would be don't be Belle.
Don't be Belle.
Don't go. Whoa, Hestia! What? What are you doing, touching me with those weapons that you have in your pockets in your breast pockets? What are those two things? Do you have melons there? They may explode. I cannot touch them. they're bombs, right? I can't get too close to you. I don't know if there's... There's literally somewhere in the back of my head that this thought that there is a harem out there that I watched that I was angry with, like, something they did. I mean, granted, like I said, there's a lot of shows, but I would spoil by saying I hated the choice they made, which technically implies what they chose and thus spoils the show itself. But I don't know, like I said, Clannad is kind of an easy choice, but again, that's kind of walking into a minefield too, because Clannad world's not happy. I mean, yes, I would kind of want the final route where everybody's kind of happy and you complete the overall thing that is in the visual novel itself that makes everybody happy. But I'm not sure that I want to go through. Oh, yeah. I can't say Quintessential Quintuplets because I haven't watched the movie yet. But if he doesn't pick Miku, then I would choose Miku. And there you go. I still need to watch that movie. I don't think it came out on Crunchyroll yet. I really, really want to watch it. Anyways, I just don't know again, what other choices you would make other than what's the obvious choice is the choice of the character. So, oh, there you go. ReZero. I would follow Rem. Mm-hmm. That's an easy one. There's technically a novel for that. So, which apparently he keeps writing about. Like, he's done multiple novels of that one. I know they did the first volume of it, but apparently he's writing more of it.
I don't know. It was just a.
Did you read the first volume?
I caught up to the entire show.
I'm talking about the extra novel for him following Rem.
It was a side chapter.
That's what I'm saying. Did you read it?
Yes, it was in the part.
Okay, you were saying that you read ahead for the rest of the story. I'm saying this is a side story. Did you read it?
No, it was a chapter in the story. So yes, I got it because it was in the.
But I'm saying that somebody said that he's apparently still writing more about it.
Have not gotten a second chapter.
There you go.
To the side chapters.
But they're always like a full book. Is that a chapter up there?
It was a chapter.
That one's only a chapter?
Consumed, yes.
That's a fail. Write more about it. I thought it was a full volume. I guess that would explain why it's not its own book. Because I was always looking for it. So I guess probably because it's in one of those chapters of one of those numbered ones. I always thought that it was like a separate book like the other EXs.
It was bittersweet, for sure.
Let's see. Maki Maki. Let's see. Mita says, what's your favorite narrative structure, type of story, and what are some of your favorite shows that fits said narrative structure? Despite probably being open to all the different types of stories, most people have a certain preference, whether it's one type of structure or maybe a couple types.
I personally, I don't like first person stuff. And most light novels are written in first person.
Yeah.
I prefer floating perspective. It's kind of like third person, but it shifts. For instance, J.R.R. Tolkien's narrative style, and that's most Western style, is kind of this shifting narrative where you're literally taking it from a floating perspective of you're getting kind of this person's perspective, but it's actually more a you as a ghost looking down on this person. You're seeing what they're seeing and you're seeing their thoughts of it. So in a way it's kind of there from their perspective, but it's not really, and you can shift from character to character that way. I think it's a more fuller storyline than that way.
He says examples of what he means is like coming of age narratives like Cardcaptor Sakura and Cinema Paradiso and Life of Scrooge McDuck, rise and fall narratives like Rose of Versailles, Shogun Roku Rakushinju, sketch based episodic slapsticks. If that's the question, I don't really have a preference. I mean, I literally have something I like of all those. And I like especially, I mean, if you ask me, like, of the ones you listed, Rise and Fall narrative is a big one, because, like I said, most of the stuff I really love. But I watch everything, and I don't think I really technically have a preference. For a while, I was very against certain stuff. And I think at some point, I just kind of craved to just dabble in everything and give everything a shot, just because I found that when I opened my mind a little bit to not be restrictive, I ended up finding that I was running into things within certain shows that I ended up liking more than I thought I would. But I don't necessarily think that I have a preference, so I don't really have an answer to it.
I don't either.
But to your point, I mean, yes, I do technically like the idea of flowing narratives to different perspectives and everything. I think that's a lot better. I find even like reading through Mushoku Tensei is that I don't like the fact that it gets so stuck on a character that I almost feel like I don't get a sense of the other characters enough. I do think it's good when the purpose is to sort of isolate the character. Like I was mentioning for quite a bit in my Mushoku Mondays that I love one particular volume because it makes me feel isolated, and that worked for what it did. But at the same time, it kind of opens up a, I guess that's more technically his writing style, that aspect that light novels kind of run into, that I've run into with, I think, three different books that I've been reading so far, that always, I almost feel like it's a problem of light novels, But again, it could just be those three authors are kind of similar, as they don't like to specify who's talking. And sometimes it makes sense a lot of the time. Like, it flows well, especially if there's only like two characters. But sometimes it's like, who's actually saying this? Because I can see two of these characters in this room saying this. But that's a side tangent.
As I don't know that. As far as story styles, I guess if that's what you're, I don't know that. It sounds like you're talking about genres. I guess drama ish. But I like the lighthearted. I don't really. I'm kind of like with Andrew. I don't mind anything. I'll watch anything. But my leaning is towards lighthearted drama type stuff. So you have a little bit of comedy, a little bit of drama. You just kind of balancing well between the two. If it gets way too far into the dark, not that I won't watch it. I just prefer not to. Like we've said before, I've made no hiding of it. It just, at that time in my life, I mean, maybe now that I don't feel as stressed in one aspect of my life, hopefully that aspect will go and I'll be able to be more open to the darker stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because when I think about that whole kind of question route, I'm more able to say what I don't care for more than I can say what I prefer. Because again, I'm more open to pretty much everything. Melodrama is really the only thing that I think right now, melodrama is the only thing that really kills it for me.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stand melodrama. It's like, not because it's too heavy. It's just melodrama for me is like, it's just too much. Like, it's over the top. It's irrational.
It's the absurdity.
Comedically irrational.
Yeah.
And it just like at some point, Magical Revolution, which is literally like a show for all the way to the end of it, I was like a 10 out of 10 show. One point, one brief scene, it started creeping over that line to melodrama. I was like, don't do it. Don't. And then it kind of came back and it's like, sorry, just joking. Just joking. Tee-hee. Just joking.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Tee-hee. It's a secret.
It's a secret.
It's a secret. Leave poor Fit Senpai alone. I love Fit Senpai.
There's going to be some people really angry at me next Mystical Monday. I know it. I don't know how I'm going to edit this Mystical Monday. Anyways, two simpler questions from me, Doss. Or maybe harder questions. What are some of your favorite non-Ghibli family kids anime?
Oh, by the way, just a side tangent.
Okay.
Andrew knows why the joke of I love Fit Senpai exists now. He has confirmed it to me recently.
Oh,
so.
There you go. Yeah, the non-Ghibli. I just don't watch. Like, you're saying, like, literally, like, kids. This is not, like, anime. This is, like, probably Pokemon. This is going to be, like, the stuff that don't typically. I mean, they get picked up by, like, Crunchyroll and stuff, but it's, like, literally Japanese television kid shows. Which, again, is kind of one of those elements of. We don't normally kind of get into them. Like, recently Pokemon technically had its last episode for Ash, and I just completely didn't even watch it. I watched, like, a clip of him walking down this road, and I'm like, that's good enough for me. There you go. I watched the final episode, technically. Not that I was, like... Now, granted, it probably would have been all over, like, trending and everything. Like, Ash died! They killed him off in the end! No, he just literally walks down the street. Sorry, spoiler. But no, I can't really think of any. Like, I don't really technically go out of my way. I would assume that technically Merc's Story was, it felt very kids-ish, but I don't think it technically was, because it technically does get heavy. But that's Japan. That's anime. Their kids shows technically do get pretty heavy. But I don't really watch many that are, like, demographic, like, 10 under anime. It's typically always teenager or higher anime that I'm watching. So I have no answer. I literally don't know.
I mean, I guess Muko, Lovely Muko. I mean, it depends on Lovely
Muko. Again, I think that was technically teenager above. I don't think that was.
Yeah, it depends on if Sailor Moon is considered. I mean, I was really heavy into it enough that I named my son after Prince Darien. I mean,
yeah, I don't know how else to say it. I really, really loved Sailor Moon. So take that for what it is. If that's considered kids, then yes. If Dragon Ball Z is considered kids, yeah. I mean, those are about as kid-ish as I go is the standard shonens.
I feel like I'm missing one, too. I'll probably think of it when I'm editing. It always ends up happening. What are some of your favorite pre-80s anime? Woof. Woof. Let's see if I even have anything back there. I don't think I really go any that far. I think, and Gundam, I think, is the only one.
Yeah, I guess Gogo, but...
Makugogo. 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 Can I do, like, a range? Like, I got... They were 11. Mason and Koku... That's fun. We're getting 86 there. Hold on, go back more. Come on, I know I have a pre-80s one. I don't have a pre-80s one.
I mean, I did watch part of what is that? Milky Bring Me Mommy. I watched part of that. Urusei Yatsura? Not that far back?
That's 81.
Oh.
I hate this. See if my anime list lets me do it properly. If I don't have one anime that's pre-80s, I am no longer a true anime fan.
That means that I win by having watched a couple of episodes of Creamy Mommy. Since it's pretty much my only pre-80s show, that means that it's by default my favorite.
I can't organize it the other way. There it goes. There it goes. Bam! Makugogo. I knew that was pre-80s. That's 67.
I did a little bit of Rocket Boy. What's his name?
So I have... Four. I have Giga Tetsudo 99. I have Kido, Senshi, and Conan a long time ago. I literally remember Jack Squad of it. I bought it here recently to rewatch it. And then Speed Racer. Of those ones... I think 99 would probably get it. I mean, that was probably... I mean, Again, I'm thinking Gundam in a sense of our rewatch of it, which was not, it just wasn't good. It didn't age well, but I remember at the time that I first watched it, it was really good. Speed Racer was just like, I think my dumb young self was entertained by it, but it's so freaking repetitive. But I think that Galaxy Express 999, I think, is just kind of one of those classics that still kind of ages well. Or it aged better than anything else here. I think it from a now sense, I would probably say Galaxy Express 99. But at the time, probably Gundam was like hype for me more so than anything else here. So, but again, I haven't watched Conan in so long and I really want to rewatch it. So I'll eventually rewatch it because I got it again. So I think I got it again.
Princess Tutu. I watched parts of Princess Tutu as well. That one was interesting.
What was Princess Tutu?
Hmm? Princess Tutu is one of the first magical girls.
When was it?
Forever ago.
You're just dropping names. Do you know what year it is? Princess Tutu was 2002.
It is not.
It says yes, sir. Princess Tutu, original run, 2002. You're thinking of... I know we talked about it in our Magical Girl podcast...
I know that I looked into a lot of them when I was when we were doing the researching for it.
Anime 301, man, I remember these Chris outlines. Oh, you bring up Princess Knight 50 and 53 first in this list, so I'm assuming that's the earliest one you found. I thought it was something else, but it's not Princess Tutu. And Creamy Mommy in 83, so you were off on that one too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's not a pre-80.
Hmm.
Chris is losing his creds very slowly right now.
It's all right. I don't have much credibility anyway because I'm...
He's a normie now.
What normie.
And Andrew's now apparently a speed watcher, so we're losing all of our creds. I do want to watch Princess Tutu, though. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah.
Very inappropriately laid out line here. I don't know why they chose to put that going like that.
She has to have a stand because, you know...
No, it's not a stand. That's just a thing coming out right here. Unless you're talking about the tree behind her. being very descriptive here. I wonder if you do Mahou Shoujo here, if you can list by date. At least according to Mal. We've got 265 shows. Mahou Sky Sally. That's the earliest one they list. Mahou Sky Sally. The Long Goodbye. 85, yeah. And this one was 84. Minka Momo. Oh, there's an 83. We're going back. We're almost there. I think that's the earliest one, though. What's the earliest Magical Girl? This is a bad tangent, by the way. I mean, I've probably watched a lot of these. I just don't remember any of them. I guess it'd have to be Sailor Moon.
It's probably 92. The first of the mainstreams.
I don't recognize a lot of these. There's some I do. Like, I recognize Yumi and Rondo. It
seems like Dream Hunter.
I'm pretty sure I probably watched Cream Mummy at some point. Can I do one more, or do you have something else in that question? No, that was it. What's your favorite anime on Sci-Fi Channel early morning block from Gudako? Dang, dude. Iria was on there, right? Zeram the Animation? That was a whole Sci-Fi block anime, right?
I don't remember. It seems like every once in a while I find out about that they're doing it again, and then I...
There you go, Armitage. Just say that, Chris. Just say Armitage.
I seen was those glasses, and I knew there was Armitage.
Ghost in the Shell, of course, was super massive hype when that hit, dude. Surprised I never watched Monster when it was on there. Apparently Monster was on there. I want to say that I watched Perfect Blue originally on there, but I don't think I watched the whole thing. Because there was a lot of it when I watched it here recently that I did not remember. Project Aiko was massive hype. Dude, if they don't put...
Record of Lodos.
If Iria Aram the Animation is not on here, it's not... Why isn't it listed? Was that a different channel? No. It had to have been on Sci-Fi.
I really gotta watch here and there now and then. As much as it's gonna be painful as all get out, I gotta watch it.
I guess it's gonna be... since apparently I'm wrong in thinking that... No, there it is. Okay, thank you. I was like, am I misremembering my life now? I swear it was on there. Yes, Iria was on there. Iria is great. But now, in all honesty, it's probably going to go to Ghost in the Shell. Like, that movie changed everything. You can't deny that changed everything. But there, I have a soft spot for Iria. Like, I just really loved her design. It's a very simple show, was it a movie or was that a 2 OVA? I just remember the brother, no, it wasn't the brother, it was like this weird alien that killed her brother that's walking around going, because it knows about her from her brother.
I recognize
Zeram, yeah. No, it was a 6 episode OVA, yeah. I bought it like 3 times and I haven't gone back to watch it because I just want to encapsulate it in my mind and keep a copy of it. But no, like I said, it would probably technically go to Ghost in the Shell because that's literally the thing that, like, changed everything. It was so insane. But I do love Project Aiko. I will always love Project Aiko. I bought every single Project Aiko they released because I love Project Aiko. It's just literally otaku encapsulated in a show. Like, if you have not watched Project Aiko, go watch it. It's literally, like, everything old school otaku nature just encompassed into way too much animation. Like, they put way too much animation in that one. Admittedly, I don't think I've watched all of them. Because I think 6 of them. I haven't watched all of them, but I watched the first one like a million times, my friend. We just kept playing it on repeat. Just kept playing. And we started calling each other nicknames. He would always call me Aiko, and I call him Biko. It was funny. See, there you go. There you go. I want to watch Art Robot Carnicle. I actually bought that. I really want to watch it. And also want to watch Frozen Z. I never watched that one.
Robot Carnival was interesting. It wasn't that impressive, but it was good. If y'all didn't hear me, Record of Lotus War for sure is a fantastic show.
Yeah, when I clicked on this, when I came to this page, you went, Record of Lotus War! And then I said Armitage. Oh, yeah, Armitage.
No, Armitage was on the first page. Record of Lotus was like on the third page.
There's only 2 pages, Chris.
You were in the middle of a thing.
Oh, there's this one. Is that your Chronicles de Giro Lodos? Or otherwise known as Record of Lotus Force?
Record of Lotus
Force. I don't know. They got like a... Did I just favorite something?
You made a star girl.
Oh, no. I've somehow managed to favorite that, and I don't know where it's favoriting to. apparently, listchallenges.com. I don't know what that means. So there you go. Yeah, that's our favorite sci-fi channel stuff. That was Knowing was on there? Wow, that was like recent, wasn't it? Ninja Scrolls, that was huge. Ninja Scroll was huge. I did like the start of the Street Fighter animation. That was kind of fun. Admittedly, it was very fun.
Street Fighter was goofy.
The original those original animations of those fighter shows was pretty fun. I didn't know Gurren Lagann was on there too. I missed a lot of these shows, apparently.
Guyver. That was another one of those shows.
Oh, Kairos, dude. Kairos was cool.
One of the greatest musics ever.
Yeah.
Selenite.
Anyways.
Rurika? Rurusha? Something like that.
Oh, New Dominion Tank Police. Freaking love Tank Police. It's so good. Just freaking driving a tank, a little mini tank down the freaking cityscape and destroying everything just to capture a guy that stole a purse. Just so fun. Like, I miss those old dumb cop shows where they just destroy everything. Yeah, that's it. That's all the questions we're going to do for the day. I hope you guys enjoyed this discussion of podcast episode. Got you guys fully caught up on the news and all that good stuff. But as per usual, at talkingspear.com, that's where you can go for all of our anime content links, which is YouTube, Discord, a podcast that you're listening to now. If you're looking for another link, I don't know what I'm saying. Also ways to support us, like including our Patreon, our tips link, our super thanks, all the good stuff there. Like, we got a new patron, I need to call out, and I like not bad call out. Like, I'm not being mad at you or anything for doing it, Babaka. Shadowflex. Yeah, Shadowflex became a Patreon supporter. Greatly appreciate the support. Definitely means a lot to us. Also, Caesar S increased their pledge. So thank you, Caesar, for your continued support. But yeah, we definitely appreciate everybody that supports the channel through monetary or just sharing it out. Clicking, we haven't asked for it in a long time. If you're on a podcast platform and it's got some rating system in there, take a couple seconds out of your time and rate us on there. Give us a 5-star. If you're not going to give us a 5-star, then don't do it. Just don't bother. If you're like, you guys are good, but not 5-star, maybe I'll give you 4. Don't do it. Probably 4-star would be okay. Just not any lower than that. You'll put us out of business if you put any lower than that. Don't do it. But no, yeah, we definitely appreciate you guys' support. It means a lot to us. And until the next, I almost want to say Mushoku Mondays. I literally just came over a recording last night, and I'm like, until the next Mushoku Mondays. Yeah, if you're a fan of Mushoku Tensei, every Monday I do a premiere for Mushoku Tensei novel analysis. We are quite a bit ahead of the anime season 1 at this point, so don't check it out if you're worried about spoilers. But anyways, hope you guys enjoyed. And y'all take care.
Os.